Thank you for listening to this DuPont Media production, available on all major podcast platforms. This is Rod Peterson on demand. Send us your opinions now. We won't victimize you unless you really deserve it. Now, back to your host, Rod Peterson.
Welcome back, everybody. Welcome to the program. If you're just joining us, as we set sail on hour two of the Rod Peterson Show, Wednesday morning, December the 18th, coming to you from the bunker out here in Western Canada. We got breaking news today. Breaking news out of Ryderville. The Saskatchewan Roughriders have re-signed Canadian corner defensive back Eli Bauka through 2021. So a two-year extension for Eli. And good news for the Roughriders. I don't think that they are going to lose too many of the free agents that they have targeted that they want. We've had a fantastic chat. If you're just joining us, Adam Big Hill from the Grey Cup champion Winnipeg Blue Bombers was with us in hour one. It was a very revealing chat. He's a guy that you don't have to cheer for his team to cheer for him. I think we'd all agree on that. Six-time All-Star, two-time Grey Cup champion. He's a Hall of Famer walking amongst us, right? And he's nowhere near done playing. Just a real good guy to have in the CFL. And as we turn it over to the floor here, the sports doctor with us, Dave Patrician, in a sweatshirt that he has not taken off since November 24th. When did you get that?
You just keep Febrezing it.
Believe it or not, the merchandise is flying off the shelves in Winnipeg, and I was at a corporate reception at IG Field at the Pinnacle Room on the Thursday, and literally the staff were taking stuff out of boxes and putting it on shelves
and selling
people
it.
Were grabbing it. And the sizes were somewhat limited. I walked out of there with $160 worth of merchandise that day and went back the following Saturday to get some more things. And it's unbelievable. And you and I had a great conversation yesterday about the cost involved for a team to do three playoff games, because
it's the worst thing you could do. Go on the road, finish third, and go on the road.
Yeah, and so the Bombers need to really make some money on these things, and it's the amount of merchandise that was the people in the parade, which was on the Tuesday, the amount of merchandise people had on the fans in the stand and on the line of the streets had was amazing. And because in the city, I mentioned in the last hour, that was predominantly for a long time, last little while, taken over by Winnipeg Jets merchandise. A lot of Bomber merchandise now.
Well, they've earned it. And we welcome to the bunker Derek Duke Myers, the Duke of My Deal. How you doing, Duke?
I'm doing really well. Thank you very much.
Clark had, I think it was Clark, wrote on the Facebook wall, fan takeover, whatever you want to talk about is up for debate today. I'm down with that. I think you guys are too.
Sure.
Monday was a lot of football. Tuesday was all hockey. Friday will be all football. Tomorrow's all hockey. Today, another dog's breakfast. Whatever you'd like to chat about today, I'm game. But just continuing that for a second, and Derek, we're going to talk about what I were told was a bloodbath hockey game, SJHL neutral site game in Mydale the other night. But before we do, maybe I missed it in the Big Hill interview, Dave, and maybe my mind was drifting. It was probably the case. Tends to happen. But did Adam Big Hill say they found out the Ticats were practicing victory formation in their Grey Cup practices?
He said that. That's the first I've heard of that, too.
Can you paraphrase? Yeah. I didn't pick up on that.
He did say that because they wanted to practice as close to the elements as possible. You know, they don't have an indoor practice facility in Winnipeg unless it's a major snowstorm. They practice at the golf dome, but they practice outdoors, and they wanted to recreate what they thought would be the experience.
The Ticats?
No,
or the Bombers.
Winnipeg did that.
Okay.
And apparently, I didn't know of any Ticats, because why would I really try to find out where they were practicing? And apparently they practiced indoors and practiced victory formation. So, I mean, I wonder if that's just locker room fodder, if that's a reality.
But it's no different than 13. 13, they went to Moose Jaw to practice. They got off the plane here, and it was freezing cold when Hamilton came in here. They went to Moose Jaw. There was practice there.
Who's they?
The Hamilton Ticats.
Indoors?
Yes. They went to the Moose Jaw Soccer Center because the soccer, or whatever you want to call the facility we have here, was Ryderville. Mm-hmm. They went there and practiced. And again, it was just one of those things that I heard you mentioning it, Dave, and I think you're right, but 2013 here with Hamilton, they were beat before they even got on the field. Yeah. The game was over before it even started, and it was very similar the way Winnipeg just, they had steamrolled them before they even tossed the coin.
It was the snowball going downhill, apparently, when he referenced that game where Kolaris came off the bench and beat Calgary at home, and then it was going to Calgary to beat them in the playoffs and beating Saskatchewan. The snowball was rolling downhill, but I referenced when we were talking to Adam that In 2001 in Montreal. I remember sitting in my hotel room in Montreal and they were showing it, and I believe it was a French language station, so I really wasn't, I was just watching the images and not really listening to what they were saying. But what I took from that is Wally Buono working out the Calgary Stampeders and watching the workouts, and I watched the Winnipeg Blue Bombers led by Milt Stegall practicing their dance moves.
Oh, yeah.
And that's the shot they were using. Bombers doing dance moves in the end zone. And we walked into Olympic Stadium, and from the moment that game started, Calgary.
Marcus Crandall.
Calgary beat the Winnipeg Blue Bombers from side to sideline to sideline. And I saw that when I walked into McMahon Stadium. November the 24th, I watched this team, the way they ran onto the field and the way they stood for O'Canada, and watched these guys and just watching body language. It was the Winnipeg Blue Bombers were going to win this game. And I thought so because I'm a fan.
Yep.
And I'm not going to root against my team, but you want them to win. And I just remember the guy I was sitting beside, he said, we're going to win this
thing. Well, I'd agree with you, Dave, lots of times. Yeah. I'm a big boxing fan. And over the years, watching boxing with my grandpa growing up, you could often tell on the way to the ring.
Yeah.
Guys coming, especially you're watching Mike Tyson, guys coming in, it's like, well, this is just a matter of time. Like, they don't look confident. They don't look at, and the other guy just walks in, George Strait, we just saw your boy George Strait in Vegas.
How was he?
He's fantastic.
Of course.
Yeah, I mean, but there's no pomp, there's no circumstance, there's no nothing. The lights come on, he walks by, shakes a couple people's hands, walks on stage, flips it on, because he just knows. He knows he's going to deliver a great performance.
It. Well,
there is something to that, and I believe that in sports. You got to believe it. And yeah, Winnipeg, by the time they got to Calgary, I mean, it was just academic.
Well, there's something
they
to
knew.
Be said about
they knew.
False confidence and false bravado.
Sure.
Pause for 1 second. Joe's watching. Sorry, Jack in Calgary's watching, and he has texted the Prairie Mobile text line a photo of himself and Joe West, former Stampeders receiver. This is in Dallas. He says, I told me with great receiver Joe West in Dallas, told Joe about the Rod Peterson show. Joe will be watching the show from Dallas this winter. So thank you, Jack, for that, for promoting
That's
the
awesome.
Good word of the show. This is the CFL's favorite sports talk show. There is no doubt about that. But with the Tiger Cats, didn't Orlando Steinauer win Coach of the Year? Brandon Banks won MVP.
Sure.
They're all concerned about the awards. And all year long, this is the greatest Tiger Cats team ever. And in the game, they forgot to prove it.
But in the back of their mind.
There's a lot to be said for that. It reminds me very much of 08. When the Stampeders got shut out of the awards in Montreal and then went out on the field and kicked the Alouettes' butts.
But wasn't there a Brandon Banks deleted his Twitter account during the week of Grey Cup?
Everybody wants to bring that up.
What was that? There was somebody trolling him.
I was not trolling him.
No. There was a bunch of people. I'm not calling you a troll, but
there was about a million people in
that's
green.
Just the nature of Twitter, right? And he just came back, like, instead of just remaining classy about it, saying, hey, we'll see everything on the field on Sunday, he didn't. He fought back and then deleted his account.
Fragile.
Like, that was because instead, Steinauer, Banks, all these guys, they had the powerhouse. They had, like, weren't they 3.5-point favorites too going into that game? But not when O'Canada was playing. Not anymore. Like that. If there was a Vegas line, it bottomed.
1983, the Oilers were the best team. They were the best team. They were cocky. They knew everything. You think the New York Islanders worried about that?
That was a bloodbath.
They just walked in there and smacked those kids around.
That was like the story of the old bull and the young bull.
Yes. Let's go down the hill.
By the way, on the Prairie Mobile text line, you can always write us at 306-840-8777. A very prairie Christmas. Receive a free wireless charging pad with your accessory purchase of $80 or more. And Shay at Prairie Mobile, I haven't forgotten about you. We are going to Pizza Hut Buffet here over the holidays.
Ooh.
So save some room.
Ooh.
We're going out on the video chat this morning. Justin Dunk joins us from 3downnation.com. They've been breaking all the stories across the CFL here this offseason. Let's bring in JD.
He's looking old. He looks better.
He's always the best looking guest on the show. Merry Christmas, JD. How are you?
I'm doing, guys. Merry Christmas to you.
Hey, we were having a lot of fun here reminiscing and looking back on the Grey Cup, obviously. You're looking ahead, breaking all the stories of where the coaches are going and so forth. But just your take on the Grey Cup, if you don't mind, because you haven't talked about it enough. The Ticats are 15-3. What happened? Where did they go? Why did they not show up in the Grey Cup?
It just seemed like right from the get-go when they turned it over, and I know that unfortunate interception happened when Dane Evans threw it off the hands of Jalen Acklin, and then it bounced into Blue Bombers back for an interception. I felt like if the Ticats got behind early, that it was going to be tough for them because all season they had been front runners. Indeed, that was the case. Now, you wouldn't have predicted that they would turn the ball over three times in the opening quarter, but the fact that they were early, especially against the Team Bombers with Andrew Harris that are going to run the football, was tough for them to dig out of. And I really think that that was a position they really hadn't been in too many times during the regular season, and that, at the end of the day, was their downfall.
So looking ahead, or at least catching up in the time since, LaPolice in Ottawa, Rick Campbell in BC, Scott Milanovich in Edmonton. Am I forgetting somebody? I think that's everybody. Oh, well, Kahari resigning in Montreal. Any of these catch you real off guard, or did you see some of them coming?
Maybe the one that you didn't mention, Ryan
Dinwiddie.
Yeah, right.
To me, and that caught people off guard around the league. You know, I had heard about it, but the way they went about it, I just didn't understand that you have Corey Chamblin still under contract. You're interviewing multiple head coaching candidates, Pinball Clemens admitted. All of a sudden, in the same press release, let Corey Chamblin go and you hire Ryan Dinwiddie. That's not the professional way to go about it. And you can see the other organizations that you mentioned in Ottawa and out in Edmonton, the proper thing, the decision, moved forward, had a search, and did it the way you're supposed post to see way, we'll say, which was surprising considering the Argos have opinions as their GM.
So now that it's happened, what do you think about it? Because the people, I mean, I know Ryan, ton of respect. The people that have coached with him, played for him, ton of respect. They think it'll work. What do you think as the learned football pundit that you are?
Well, guys, I'll tell you, there were people inside the Calgary Stampeders front offices and coaching staffs that were surprised that Dinwiddie got the opportunity. They felt like he still needed some more development time. And there were also some people around the league that took his comments in terms of saying that he took Bo Levi Mitchell to another level really as coming off in an arrogant way. Now, you have to toe that fine line in terms of being cocky, not, or in other terms, confident. That's more where you want to go to. There were some people in Calgary surprised, and we all know the Stampeders are sort of the gold standard right now in the league in terms of being consistently competitive. So if those guys were surprised, to me, it's something Dinwiddie's going to have to prove.
Justin, you talked on the Toronto Argonauts, and I never thought of that until you just mentioned it about the unprofessional way that they got rid of the coach and hired Ryan Dinwiddie. Will that hurt them in getting assistant coaches and for an offensive coordinator and restructuring that whole team there? Because you see something like that, you're going to be very, very leery of wanting to work for that organization, notwithstanding that, you know, Toronto doesn't really have much support out there. But is that going to hurt them?
Might, but most coaches who are out looking for a job right now or have the opportunity to work, that's just how. So maybe in the short term or initially, the Argos are going to have to explain that reason and get over it. But I don't get the entire staff together, especially when you look at the league and some of them are coming together rather quickly. Ottawa would combine with what Paul LaPolice has done in hiring Mike Benavides, retaining Bob Dice as special teams coordinator, getting Bob Wiley as the offensive line coach, and get Kevin Glenn as a quarterback coach. That the Argos need to be more concerned about moving quickly, although they're going to have to question some of the coaching candidates.
Justin, you watch the ratings numbers very closely on Three Down Nation throughout the year. Now, the ratings were up for Grey Cup, but if you look across the board, it wasn't necessarily a sparkling year. Attendance, again, was down a little bit. The Grey Cup wasn't necessarily sold out. Yet we see Randy Ambrosi touring around internationally, doing more of that. What's going to be the league focus here come the spring to try and reinvigorate this fan base and put some more butts in the seats and maybe get a bump in some television ratings this season?
And Ambrosi has talked about their bums in seats operation. Clearly 2.0 is a strategy that they're going to go really hard at. They've hired Greg Quick as their director of, let's say, global scouting. But to your point about the television ratings and the ticket sales, you know, I think we're seeing it across all sports, and people want to get up in arms about the CFL being down with ticket sales or less bums in seats. But to be quite honest, the TV ratings actually held pretty steady. I have to go over the numbers, but I think they were actually up year over year for right. the entire season. So the CFL is in the same place as a lot of other sports leagues, that the at-home experience, whether you're streaming it or watching it on TV, is obviously much cheaper and it's much more convenient. You don't have to get in your car, drive hours potentially to a game, and then figure out a way home, especially if you're going to have a few brown pops. So I don't think that it's right that everyone says, well, the CFL ticket sales are lagging and the TV numbers might be down or stagnant at least, because that's trouble across all leagues. I think where the CFL is in terms of their television numbers is pretty steady and has to be a positive overall from 2019.
Justin, just lastly, on the coordinators and position coaches carousel, just with Saskatchewan, what do you know or what do you hear is coming down the pipe here with, you know, Moz is obviously here, Shivers re-signed. Beyond that, not a whole lot is known.
That's right. So they obviously have Craig Dickinson as a head coach, and you mentioned Moss and Shivers as offensive and defensive coordinators, and they're still trying to put their staff together. There has been some speculation that Jarius Jackson could end up back in Saskatchewan as a passing game coordinator. Obviously, has a background as a quarterback coach, and I'll say that's just speculation right now. And then as for the defensive staff, you know, you have to look at the crew that was there with Shivers was so successful, and them trying to retain most of that staff. You know, the one guy that stands out to me is what Mike Davis was able to do with the defensive line after they got rid of their defensive coach mid-season. That group led the league in sacks from that point on. So I think overall, you'll look at that defensive staff or most of it coming back, and then look for a guy like Jarius Jackson to be brought in. I bet you certainly in the ear of a guy like Ricky Ray to try to get him out to look after the quarterback. Moss might even want to try to bring Jordan Maksimek in, a Canadian coach that's been with the Edmonton Eskimos for the last couple of years, obviously on Moss's staff, so he hired him. So I think those could be a couple names to watch for on the offensive side of the ball.
Justin, thanks for finding some time for us. I'm shocked your phone didn't go off. Probably did while you're on with us. So keep it up, and Merry Christmas, my friend. Appreciate all you do.
Thanks, guys. I had it on silent just for you, but we'll get back to it right away.
Thanks, JD. Justin Dunk out in Southern Ontario from 3downnation.com. It is the nation's number one resource for CFL news and info at this time of year. By the way, we need to break.
Okay.
Judy McDonald has written in. She says, who hires the assistant coaches? The GM or the head coach?
Great question.
Randy in Alberta writes in and he says, we never heard an announcement on Stephen McAdoo leaving. We'll address all of those. Sit tight. People wanting to talk CFL on this December morning, we're more than game to do that. It's a show out of Western Canada for Western Canadians. And we'll be right back on Facebook Live and listen live at rodpeterson.com.
Every sale held in 2019 has led up to our biggest event of the year. Ring in the savings with year-end clear out at Capital GMC. We're making a list and checking it twice of the biggest savings on brand new vehicles this holiday season. Get savings up to $15,000 or finance rates as low as 0% up to 84 months on select new inventory. Plus, every single one of our new 2019 models has had its price heavily discounted. Celebrate the most wonderful time of year with Saskatchewan's largest GM dealer, Capital GMC in Regina.
Celebrate the 5th anniversary with friends, family, everyone you know. Plan your next group experience with your Saskatchewan Rush. Group benefits include block seating, ticket discounts, and a dedicated fan experience coordinator. For more, visit saskrush.com/groupnightout.
Bronco Plumbing and Heating has been servicing Regina and surrounding areas since 1978. At Bronco, we service all makes and models of furnaces, air conditioners, water heaters, and water softeners. Bronco also provides full sewer service, plumbing service, and duct cleaning. Call Bronco Plumbing and Heating today at 306-781-2090. Proud sponsor of the Rod Peterson Show.
Cheers to the 16 guys who never back down. And to the smooth, refreshing beer with a real beer taste. Original 16. Underdogs. Since 1989.
If you're looking for radio that's got a great message, well, we've got it. LTD Radio plays the best of the 60s to the 90s, all with amazing stories about people right from your community. You can listen live right now at ltdradio.com, iTunes, Streama, and TuneIn. LTD Radio, music to build a better day.
Did you know you can catch all the best moments from the show on all our social media platforms? Now back to the studio with Rod.
Welcome back, everybody. Wednesday morning here in the bunker. Actually, everywhere in the world, but sports update for Seat Giant and Wendell Clark's. Thomas Tatar and Shea Weber scored power play goals less than 2 minutes apart as the Canadiens beat the Canucks 3-1 last night in Vancouver. Montreal's now won 4-5. In Calgary, Geno Malkin scored his 400th career goal in the Penguins' 4-1 win over the Flames. They're saying in Calgary that reality is set back in. That the bump is over after the coaching change. Auston Matthews scored twice in the Maple Leafs' 5-3 victory over the Sabres. Matthews' first was his 20th of the year, making him just the second player in franchise history to begin his career with four consecutive 20-goal seasons. Who was the other?
Dave Keon.
Thank you.
Number 14.
Sebastian Aho and Jordan Staal each had a pair of goals as the visiting Hurricanes doubled up the Jets 6-3. While in Tampa, Anthony Cirelli was the hero. He scored with just 19 seconds to go in overtime as the Lightning stunned the Senators 4-3. In his Arizona debut, Taylor Hall had the only assist on Oliver Ekman-Larsson's winner late in the third as the Coyotes narrowly beat the Sharks 3-2. And in Boston, Anze Kopitar scored the OT winner in the Kings' 4-3 win over the Bruins. Boston has six losses in their last seven. And for the first time in over a decade, Tom Brady was not selected to the Pro Bowl. The last time the Patriots quarterback was left off the roster was 2008, first year of the Obama regime. Lamar Jackson, one of three quarterbacks selected for the AFC, leads a group of 12 Pro Bowl selections for the Ravens, while the Saints lead all NFC teams with seven selections, highlighted by quarterback Drew Brees and receiver Michael Thomas. This sports update for Seat Giant. Stop paying U.S. dollars for sporting events and concerts. We have all major sporting events and concert tickets in Canadian dollars. Enter promo code RP Show and get discounts for RP Show fans. Visit seatgiant.ca. I bought tickets to the Rockets and the Kings on Seat Giant. Save $10.
Attaboy.
Couple of hot dogs at the Toyota Center. That's what they bought me. Thank you, Seat Giant.
How was the beard?
James Harden was amazing.
Yeah.
Really good. And also for Wendell Clark's Classic Bar and Grill in Saskatoon, quarter of Idlewild and Circle Drive. See it, Wendell's. I just can't get enough of that place.
I'm going there for supper tonight.
Have you been?
No.
Will you ask
is there a door or the Rod Peterson show or something?
Oh, good. Well, they show the show up there 24/7. Will you please ask for Doyle or Byron or Gary?
Yep.
Those are the guys that run the place.
And what's the special? Is it the fish?
I don't know.
Chips?
Yesterday it was the fish chicken tacos. I haven't checked your social media to see what it is today. But Wendell Clark, real nice, Clark.
Hey, how much, and if you don't mind me asking, I heard you guys talking about ticket prices earlier, kind of where the threshold is and stuff. So how much were your seats for the Rockets?
Oh, listen.
Now, this is different because it's a one-off.
Yeah. I don't mind you. I was in the lower bowl.
Okay.
In the President's Club.
Okay.
$97 Canadian through Seat Giant. Lower bowl,
I'll pay
President's
that.
Club.
Yep.
Where you had your own private club for $97 through Seat Giant. Man. And if I may.
That's unreal.
I was at an Under Armour store in San Marcos, Texas. And I'm paying, and the guy says, oh, you're Canadian? Do you want to pay in Canadian dollars or U.S.
Right,
dollars? And I said, I'll pay in Canadian dollars. The guy next to me says, you're Canadian? How do y'all afford hockey tickets? He goes, the most expensive tickets in sports is hockey. And I said, well, I go to junior hockey, so it's like $25 a ticket. As far as NHL, I have no idea how people afford it.
Right.
I have no idea. So NBA is actually pretty cheap. And for the NFL, I've gone to Cardinals games, Texans games, $95.
Yeah. I found it curious because we all have there's a threshold in your mind that you're willing to pay for certain things. And, you know, Hewitt, I'd pay $2,000 if the Riders were in a great cup. And I ran into an interesting one. In Vegas, they always have the guys signing autographs, right, at the memorabilia store.
So Jerry Rose or Mike Tyson.
Mike Tyson was there. Mike Tyson. I said, you know what? I'm going to check. I've always been curious. And Mike Tyson Tyson's been a guy, you know, I grew up with my grandpa watching mm-hmm. and he's this figure. Yep. So kind of the minimum to get in, there was just different things. You know, you could get, yeah. you had to buy the shorts and then you get, it was $200. And that was, I figured out that was over my threshold to meet Mike Tyson, yeah. to meet right. a guy that worth? I considered a star.
What's it worth?
And everybody's is different. I mean, it was lined up, but when you guys were talking ticket prices, it just kind of tweaked me on that. And I wondered, you know, what's your threshold to go see a team you don't care about in the NBA, but a sport you kind of like? Clearly, under $100, which
under 100,
I think is
Canadian
easy.
Yeah.
That's what's great about
I do that.
Seat Giant. Yeah. He can buy U.S. events for Canadian dollars.
Yeah, no, that's a good value, I think.
Yeah. Hey, listen, on the topic of hockey, before we get back into the football stuff and the coaching carousel, they said it was a bloodbath in Mydale. You know what we consider bloodbath?
Sure.
Today's bloodbath aren't what we are used to back in the day.
You mean it wasn't the Bruins and the Wings on that January 1st game?
Right, but the Estevan Bruins played the Notre Dame Hounds in Mydale the other night, and I guess it got rough. And that's your hometown.
Yeah, it is.
They're still talking about the game out there.
I talked to some people yesterday. They said it was a great success. The barn was packed. The place was hyped. I think that's just fantastic. You know, I don't know what they could jam in there. 500-600 maybe at best, but what a great thing. And I know Notre Dame had been out and done a skate with the kids maybe a week or so ago before that. Like, yeah, I think that's great. But yeah, the town was buzzing. It's a hockey town. Like, think if they came to Milestone. I mean, the barn would be packed.
Talking about it for days.
I talked to some people that ran the booth. I think we call it the canteen or the concessions right. here in the big city. It's the booth in the small town.
Snack the bar. Canteen.
Yeah. Good friend Rhonda Martin said, she goes, oh, we were busy. It was our night and we were busy.
Biggest night of the year.
Yeah.
Well, I got to say, the SJHL has been very progressive, taking their product to neutral site games.
Yep.
By the way, this Saturday, Southland Mall, 1-5.
Yes.
I'll be doing a book signing for our book, the SJHL, Heart and Soul, 50-Year History. We'll have a pop-up clothing sales for the SJHL. I'll be there this Saturday, Southland Mall, 1-5. Love me some SJHL. They're doing great things. And Don Hewitt was here earlier saying he worries about junior hockey from CTV Regina. Don Hewitt, I said, go to the games. If everybody that was worried about junior hockey just went to the games, we wouldn't have to worry about
junior
hockey.
Well, they'll be back on TV with their Game of the Month coming up in the new year. And the showcase right here in Regina in January as well. So
I see we have a winner. Thank you, Clark, for picking Leanne Schellenberg. You've won a $25 gift card to the Tap in Regina. Send us a DM and we can coordinate delivery. Tap is just outstanding. Now, to those questions earlier. Sandra asked, who hires the assistant coaches, the GMs or the head coaches? That is you guys can chime in at any time, but that has been a team-by-team difference.
Right.
It's different on every team.
Predominantly, I think the head coach has, you know, most of the say. I think if there was somebody that the GM was super concerned about, he would maybe step in. But for the most part, his job is to buy the groceries and the coach's job is to make the dinner.
I've seen it both. I've seen it both.
Yeah, a community thing where I think they ask the head coach, who's your dream team? And then the GM does the legwork and seeing the feeling out process of, you know, the salary thing. And then they bring that.
It has changed since this cap has come into place. I mean, dollars and cents and numbers of bodies make a difference. You can't just, fill up every seat in the pews. That's for sure.
Well, speaking in generalities, when a coach and GM come in together, I always say it's like wedding photos. Everybody's smiling and arm in arm, and then at least half end in divorce. And in pro football and hockey, it's far more than half. But they come in together as friends in these hockey too and football, and then it doesn't usually end that way. But when the GM and coach are lockstep, then I think they do by committee. You said it, Dave. I think that both of them decide. I think with the Rough Riders, they both have a hand in it.
Yeah, they value each other's opinions, too. I mean,
we've heard those stories of the Winnipeg Blue Bombers wanting to let Richie Hall go, or at least the fans were calling for his head, and Mike O'Shea was just
adamant.
I want Richie Hall. And so obviously that conversation must have been had with Kyle Walters and Mike O'Shea. But yeah, that's one of those marriages. I think it's since 2013. It's been Walters and O'Shea together as the one
still smiling,
and they're still smiling. And they you know,
boy, hasn't always been.
Well, 6 years later, they win a Grey Cup.
Has any marriage?
No.
But that's just something to say to stay the course. Like, you know you're close. Don't make harsh decisions, because now the Blue Bombers, obviously because they're defending champions, they'll be one of the top favorites to win the Grey Cup. And they will, after free agency, still have a good nucleus of players and a strong team on the field. And if you were to break that up after 3 years and say, oh, this isn't working, let's say goodbye to Mike O'Shea, then there's another bunch of starting. Nobody really
gets... Yeah, the Cleveland Browns.
Yeah. there's very few examples of a brand new coach winning a Grey Cup, like a brand new coach that hadn't been in that organization before, or something.
There are very few. But Ken Austin, 07, which made the year so special.
Yeah, but that's a special case because of his tie to the Saskatchewan Rough Riders, his tie to the Canadian Football League. Like, he wasn't just a guy getting his first coach; he was a football mind. And he did it, right? That's a very, very good example. But people blow up the staff, and we saw this in BC after Wally and Wally stepped back and the hardships they've had there and different teams. And, you see the struggles with Jason Moss in Edmonton and all these guys in Toronto. You don't even want to talk about that after their Grey Cup win a couple of years ago, what they did to that team. And
well, by the way, Randy, just trying to knock off the questions as we go here. Randy in Alberta says, we never heard an announcement on Stephen McAdoo leaving. That's why you really should read 3downnation.com. They are the number one source for CFL info.
Yeah.
And I always brag that this show is the best thing for the CFL. I'd say it's the second best thing for the CFL footnote. Behind 3down Nation. Well, no, 3down had the story.
Yeah.
All Rider coaches up for renewal.
Yep.
Except for Craig Dickinson.
Yeah.
You saw that?
Yeah, I saw that.
So that was, to me, if all their contracts were up, you don't need to make an announcement. No. It's news if you're bringing him back. It's not news if you're not bringing him back.
But they hired Moss. I think that what I meant was
there was a footnote on it
saying McAdoo won't return.
So, but what about, I have you guys here, the ardent CFL fans that you are, on Dinwiddie with the Argos. Like, listen, I hear from too many sources, it's tough to quiet the noise. You kind of got to listen to your inner voice. And I think Ryan Dinwiddie will be successful because of what I know about Ryan Dinwiddie. But Dunk's right. People across the league are saying, who are you to say that you took Bo Levi to another level? Who are you to say that you did all this in Montreal? And so that's the anti. They're saying he's too cocky. Well, I like it. I like guys that have some pizzazz that can back it up. The question is, can Ryan back it up? If he doesn't get a quarterback, he won't be able to back it up. And I guess that's what it's all predicated on. But it's just odd there. And so they fire Chame and hire Dinwiddie and do it all in one news release. Is it classy? Is it not? Don't blame the PR guy. That's got to all be on pinball.
Yep.
That's got to all be on pinball. And people saying pinball's unclassy, that would be the first time those two terms have been uttered in the same sentence.
Yeah, and quite honestly, it's the Argonauts in that town. I mean,
who would notice?
Did anybody even make a blip on the radar? Like, I mean, so what did you want him to do? To put out a press release one day saying we've released Corey Chama from his duties, and then the next day announced Dinwiddie? Like, would have that made it better? I just get so tired of this Charmin, soft culture. Like, get over it.
No, I don't know. No,
who are we talking about?
Not necessarily
the people that are worked up.
No,
about
not
this.
Necessarily what you just said. That could be. Yeah, we fired the guy. Here's his replacement. But it's the interviewing process while you have a head coach.
Yeah,
that's like cheating on your wife, right? That's just like you have somebody in place, but let's see what else is out there.
But if you're not looking, you're never going to get better either.
But the thing is, you could always looking, but it's that next step that gets you in trouble. Like, Dinwiddie's available. I wonder if that would work out. I want to know. Let's look at this further. Maybe we'll have him on a short list.
It's not like Chamberlain was 12-6 this year.
But they're interviewing. Imagine that. Imagine if you were like, if you're in there maybe, scheming for the next season, and all of a sudden Ryan Dinwiddie's walking by, and maybe Mike Benavides is walking by, maybe Paul Lapolis walked by, and you're sitting there trying to do your work. You're like, what?
Hey, Clark, where did this note come from? TSN has just put this note up. Breaking news. The Montreal Alouettes have suspended their search for a new general manager due to limitations that stem from the sale of the team. The team also announced Eric Deslauriers has been appointed director of football operations. I'll say it one more time because I said it yesterday or the day before. Football guy in Montreal wrote me and he goes, this is on Facebook. He goes, are you following this disaster that is the Alouettes? And I'm like, well, I am, but I'm not trying to dig into it too far. And they've bungled this bad. And it's
one of the league.
Pardon?
The league
they,
has
as bumped, in the league.
You shouldn't use the cowbell there. You should use the gong. That's a gong show.
Or there. The game show.
But it just, it bothers me that...
Oh, it's awful.
It bothers me that if you say anything negative about stuff like that, it's like, off with your head. They're so pissed off if you say anything negative about what's going on. But what the truth is the truth. And even you got Kahari Jones on here last week saying, yeah, this is backward. But you know what? We've been through worse in this league. I mean, so they've suspended it and given the job to Eric Deslauriers, who I have a lot of respect for. Eric, I think he's good. This is what they're saying in the football world, is that nobody wants to take the job. No quality candidates want to take the job because they want to mold. They want a good young, they want a young guy that they can mold to the way they do things.
Who
would want a job? The Owls. And the CFL, whoever the new owner is.
But that's the thing. Do you want a job that potentially you don't know who your boss is, and then the boss comes in, and it's like, well, he didn't hire me. Like you are literally, it's like a maternity leave. Like you know you're going in there, but you know you're done in 6 months because the new boss is coming in.
And what kind of quality candidates do you get for jobs?
Yeah, I just don't understand what the league is doing with this. Like, how can you possibly continue to just drag your feet on this? Like, this has to be solved. You're putting this team at a massive disadvantage with things like this. Recruitment when it comes to the front office. Like, it's a massive disadvantage.
Ryan Rigmaiden had turned the job down. Last I saw, Farhan Lalji reported they'd offered the job to Ryan Rigmaiden, the director of U.S. scouting for the Blue Bombers. You told me last night that he's turned it down.
Right, and apparently Danny McManus was... They were sniffing around him, too, and everybody's
turned it down.
Yeah. Well, you wouldn't want a job that you wouldn't know who the owner was. Well, you know, there's really no owner, and we could close up tomorrow, but here's a salary, and we're not really sure if you're going to get a paycheck, and we don't know who's going to be supporting you in these roles.
And how many contracts can you actually sign? Yeah. What power do you have to actually spend money?
I guess I should ask Dunk. Can we get him back on? Ask Dunk what he knows about the situation.
He's got his doctor's appointment.
He's got his doctor's appointment. He's given the doctor's appointment.
It looked like it.
We'll be back. We have to take a timeout. By the way, I want to get you guys' opinion and the viewers on the top 10 moments of the year on the RP show. We've got a bottleneck here. Too many great moments, not enough spots. We'll talk about that and more when we come back. You're watching the Rod Peterson Show on Facebook Live and listen live at rodpeterson.com.
Universal Collision Center is Saskatchewan's premier auto body shop. Our extensive process ensures that every vehicle that comes through our state-of-the-art facilities is returned pre-accident condition and that every UCC customer experience is an easy one. We're certified to repair all makes, all models, and all luxury brands, and Universal Auto Spa offers full-service detailing packages to suit you and your vehicle. Plus, we're the official body shop of your Saskatchewan Rough Riders. Universal Collision Center, 3910 Rochdale Boulevard and 2355 First Avenue in Regina.
Prairie Mobile is your SaskTel authorized dealer. Whether you're looking for talk, text, or data, shared, unlimited, or business plans, Prairie Mobile will help you find the SaskTel wireless plan that's right for you. Visit us online at prairiemobile.com.
Saskatchewan Snow Beef is the highest quality beef you will find, bred, born, and raised in Saskatchewan. Snow Beef is the result of crossbreeding full-blood Wagyu males with Holstein females. Much like a fine wine, when given the proper care and diet, the Snow Beef genetics develop superior marbling and flavor. The culmination of these efforts is the best beef you can get in Saskatchewan. Saskatchewan Snow Beef is available at Crave Kitchen and Wine Bar on Victoria Avenue in Regina, Little Red's Market Cafe in Mortlock, Saskatchewan, or take some home to your own grill by purchasing it at Local and Fresh, 1377 Hamilton Street in Regina. For more information, follow them on Facebook or Instagram at Sask Snowbeef.
Nestled in the scenic Qu'Appell Valley, just 20 minutes northwest of Regina, is one of the finest golf courses in all of Saskatchewan, the Deer Valley Golf Club. The clubhouse has a full-service restaurant, and customers can enjoy a casual dining experience with spectacular views of the golf course and valley. A fully stocked golf shop, staffed by PGA of Canada professionals, is equipped to meet all of your golf apparel and equipment needs. Book your tee time, family event, or corporate tournament today at the Deer Valley Golf Club. Call 306-731-1445 or log on to deervalleygolf.ca.
My name is Karen Allen. I was diagnosed with breast cancer in 2007. The treatments themselves were difficult, but the care and attention that I received was phenomenal. But what if, with the advances in technology that have been made, having that better equipment would increase survival rates by 1, maybe 2%. That's people.
Hey, honey, can you get one of the kids to show me how this Twitter thing works? Honey, I need to get on Instagram. Time for more of the Rod Peterson Show.
Fun on this Wednesday morning. Thanks for joining us for coffee, wherever you may be around the world. It is episode number 139 of the Rod Peterson Show, coming to you from the bunker out here in Western Canada. The Riders have re-signed Canadian DB Ellie Bauka to a two-year extension, so that's some of the big news today. You're going to be hearing more about this, I think. Adam Bighill was with us in hour one, said the Bombers heard during Grey Cup week that the Ticats were practicing victory formations. That's what he said,
indoors,
right?
Indoors
for the Grey Cup preparations.
Climate controlled.
And that spurred them on. Wouldn't it spur you on? That's great bulletin board. Hey, guys, they actually think they're going to win the game. They're practicing it already. That's awesome. Brenda Motes writes in. She says, do you think that Nick Arbuckle will be brought over to Toronto? Thanks for watching from Saskatoon this morning, Brenda. And, well, I think that was a big play in hiring Ryan Dinwiddie. Obviously, they think they're getting a good coach, but they also think he'll be able to woo Nick Arbuckle over there. Interesting, by the way, just before we get to these top 10 things, who's the top quarterback free agent? Mine is Arbuckle, but we ran a poll here a couple weeks ago for Capital Auto Mall Universal Collision Center. Jeremiah Masoli was the runaway free agent, coveted quarterback.
Jermaine Franklin not available?
Frankie?
just these guys that come in and have a couple of games. Like all of a sudden, oh. Jermaine Franklin. Yeah. It's the wrong guy. But like Arbuckle. Yeah, he had a couple nice games.
Fatty Arbuckle.
You know what? That guy, he could be the next Doug Flutie in this league. Like that's like people.
That's like Drew Willey in Winnipeg a bunch of years ago, right? Everybody, there's literally like people begging the Winnipeg Blue Bombers to sign Drew Willey, a completely unproven quarterback at the time. And he never really, he just kind of fizzled out with injuries and things like that. But the same with Arbuckle. You need a biography of success to get like the top
a larger body of work, because
you heard that in Winnipeg on the open line shows right after the Grey Cup. People, we need to get Arbuckle. Wait a minute. You got a line on Kolaris. You got a line on Matt Nichols. You got a line on Chris Strebler. Why go after? Well, we got to go after Mazzoli. We got to go after these guys. Hey, everybody, chill out. The Bombers, in my humble opinion, missed the boat. They should have signed everybody during that Grey Cup week and sold a ton of season tickets for Christmas. And because you know the nature of football.
Maybe they tried, Dave.
But the nature of football is you know when Strebler was drunk, why not throw a contract in front of him, right? All these
you'd have signed anything,
right? You know, and they
just
did,
toss in a fur coat.
They announced Michael Shea. What was that last Friday?
Yeah.
Which again, Friday, the next day's paper, Saturday. Nobody really. It's not a newsworthy, buzzworthy story. That should have been. This is Michael Shea. This is our coach. Oh, by the way,
he signed a new deal.
I kind of thought that about the schedule too.
But let's get that going. Like, because you could have signed a ton. And football, what's the harm in signing a ton of guys? Because you're just going to cut them if you don't want them.
Yeah. Terry writes that Terry Carrier makes a really good point. He says, "Does Cody need a larger sample? You know." It's only been 1 year. No, he didn't need a larger sample size for Jeremy O'Day. Jeremy's like, sold. I'm giving you $400,000 plus a year in a multi-year deal, and we're all happy with that. This is a matter of fact. If I was the Riders, I would have Cody Fajardo with his million-dollar smile on every pamphlet that went out for season ticket renewals.
Why is there no Fajardo flakes?
And Grey Cup. Yeah, I think that guy, they should be pimping him out more.
I know you want to get to your board, but Fajardo's one of those guys that have been in the league a long time. That guy paid his dues, and he had... Not the largest body of work, but he was smart.
Who?
Fajardo.
Oh, yeah.
Right, you know what I mean? He wasn't just some clown that walked off the street and then threw a bunch of touchdown passes. That guy earned his money. But back to Arbuckle, I don't know.
Still pretty raw.
That's not a fair comparison of anybody.
Just reminds me of Franklin.
Yeah, but you know what? He was the hottest thing since Slice's been. On Arbuckle, too, though, is he that great or is he the product of the system? That's what you hear.
Dinwiddie.
But I would trust the football guys to know the difference.
Sure.
It's one thing for us to talk about it, but I would think the coaches and GMs and the new head coach of the Argos would know. Now, listen.
First guys like
here, we're going to do a top 10 segment. I think it's New Year's Eve. Ryan, are you aware of this? Our technical producers over here. Are you? You're part of these discussions? We're going to do a top 10 moments of the Rod Peterson Show. And It's hilarious, by the way. We were kicking this around in our meeting yesterday. What was the thing, Darren, we said he felt like it was 10 years ago? Something way back in week one.
Episode one.
Seems like a long time ago.
I was on episode two. I don't even remember what we talked about.
Well, so look, here's some of the best moments. The coaches slash Me Too movement. I guess memorable segments of the show. Is that what we're talking about? Nick Lewis and Charleston Hughes together. Some moments from the VIP sports trip, which you are not missing from now on, Derek. You said it looked like a lot of fun.
It looked great.
Houston?
Oh, man, that looks fantastic.
Everywhere I go, people say it looked great. Yeah. That's because it was great. Our thoughts on Andrew Harris. All-Star Weekend. Which All-Star Weekend? Oh, the Alumni Weekend.
You know what? That Labor was Day. Great. And now look at the guys that are getting signed. Atlee Simon signed again?
That if you want to play in the CFL, come play in our Alumni Weekend. You'll get a deal by Monday. Kevin Glenn announcing his retirement on this show. That was amazing. That's got to go
that
in the top
cool.
10. It was only episode 3.
Yep.
The Pimps and Whores comment. You didn't even know what that was.
No, I wasn't sure, but now you know. Refreshed my memory. Yes.
For those that missed it, way back in week one, for 25 years in the broadcasting business, I've been whoring myself out. Somebody else was making the money. Now in this new world, I am the prostitute and the pimp. There's more money in it. That's why I'm having so much fun.
So you've gone indie.
I've gone indie. Independent. That's right. Life is great.
Why do I feel so uncomfortable in this chair?
Yeah, we're going to get calls. We're the massage parlor capital of the world.
Yeah, and we're in the industrial area.
Yeah. The 100th episode was really great when we had all the rider greats come through here. Paulie, George Reed, so forth. It just says Ken Miller. Ken Miller, period. Good morning, riders. Just having him on.
What's Paulie's line? Can I tell you a story?
Oh, yeah, Paulie, yeah. Got a story for you. Great Cup week. That was awesome. Mike Benavides made his bunker debut. The Labor Day Classic Show. You're talking about the pregame.
You know
that
what?
Was awesome.
One that you might not even... Oh, okay, sorry. Yeah, I was going to say
what?
That pregame show that wasn't actually a show, but the one you guys
He's
did for the Armory. Yeah,
that looked great?
That was fantastic. Yep, I'm in for that.
For the Dressler, Durant... All the rider greats on this show, because that's the one thing the guys on the Houston trip said they love the most is when we bring on the old riders. All those interviews were
shocking.
Great. We'll continue. Yeah, as Clark says, I haven't even got through the 90s or 80s yet. We haven't even started.
The Minister of Defense.
Baron Simpson.
That was a good one. And Mr. Furious.
Rod versus Banks and Simone.
Well, yeah, of course.
Was that even a segment?
Yeah.
As Clark pointed out, he cut a lot out of that segment. Saved my ass, frankly.
When you call Simone a thug, that should be the segment.
Thugland? I said he was thug-ish.
Oh.
There's a difference.
Very Regina-ish.
Winnipeg wins Grey Cup 107. Episode
Top
one. Yeah, from the Winnipeg guy. Very Winnipeg-ish. That's what your license plate should say. NFL in Winnipeg. Are you talking about Durant or what? Whatever. NFL of Winnipeg. And the Heritage Classic shows were great, too. So, you guys all know Piss Jug, right? He just...
Like, seriously? I wanted to text you guys when you're on the trip. And I'm like...
Piss Jug?
Are you guys doing some charity work? Like, is this... Are you taking some people
Did he win
along?
A contest?
Yes. And then I realized who it was. And I was like, oh, my God. He was dancing. I think it was at one of the games or
he
something.
He has just written in and says, the Jug in Houston is the best moment. One of our patrons getting on the big screen at the Houston Rockets game. That's pretty amazing. So.
With the Piss Jug?
Pardon me?
With the Piss Jug?
It's his nickname. There's a story behind it.
It's his handle.
That we can't get into. Guys, this has been a lot of fun. Do you have a number one moment from the show other than your appearances? Anything?
Grey Cup 107?
Grey Cup 107, that's yours?
Quite honestly, the first episode for me. Just seeing your guys' hard work and your dreams come to fruition and get this thing off the ground, whether it be you, Rod, or Darren, or Paul, or everybody involved. Because I still keep saying to people, it is ahead of the curve here. And it's exciting, and it's just fun to go in there every day and see where it's going next. So, yeah, show number
Thank
one,
you.
It's fantastic.
Appreciate it.
You bet.
I got a gift certificate for you, Duke, to the Tap. I know you like the Tap.
Love the wings.
And you, Dave, say hi to the crew at Wendell Clark's tonight, okay? Overtime segment coming up next as Dupes joins us back in the bunker. It's the Rod Peterson Show, episode 139 on Facebook Live, and listen live at rodpeterson.com.
He's covering everything that matters to you. It's the Rod Peterson Show. Tune in live Monday to Friday, 10 a.m. to noon, to catch the show live and be a part of the action. take control by commenting live and sharing the show with your friends.
Every sale held in 2019 has led up to our biggest event of the year. Ring in the savings with year-end clear-out at Capital Ford Pre-Owned. We're making a list and checking it twice of the biggest savings on pre-owned vehicles this holiday season. 2018 F-150 XLT 4x4s are starting at just $29,999 plus tax. Plus, our entire inventory of used trucks is on sale. Ford, Chevy, Ram, and more. It's the most wonderful time of year at Ford of Canada's number one pre-owned Ford store. Capital Ford Pre-Owned in Regina.
Locally owned and family operated, Emerald Water, refreshing the Rod Peterson Show. From reverse osmosis to natural alkaline and distilled water, they are perfect for your home and office. Saskatchewan's number one source for commercial alkaline with natural electrolytes and minerals that are better for your body. Naturally occurring magnesium, calcium, bicarbonate, and potassium are amazing for your health. Trust 30 years of experience and drink water that matters from Emerald Water.
You got something to say? You want to add to the show? What are you waiting for? Don't just sit there. Say something. Now, back to the studio with Rod.
Welcome back for Overtime, everybody. It's brought to you by Emerald Water, the OT refresher. And sports on tap tonight. There's a few junior games in the loop.
Yeah.
Tri-City is at Everett in the dub. Vancouver skates into Kelowna, and Spokane is at Victoria. And then no games after tonight until December the 27th. It is a lovely Christmas break for the Western League players. In the SJ last night, Yorkton beat Nipawin 5-3. Tonight, Humboldt is at the Battlefords. We talked about that in the rollout. The Stars are ticked off at the Broncos broadcast crew for saying that they're nothing.
I know.
I think the Civic Center in North Battleford might be the place to be tonight.
Kind of want to make the road trip.
I know.
Right?
And they're playing in the SJ all through into the weekend. And don't forget, Saturday, Southland Mall, 1 till 5. I'll be doing a book signing for our book, Heart and Soul of the SJHL 50-Year History Book. And there are three games in the NHL tonight, including the Oilers at St. Louis. Things are, through the holidays here, kind of slowing down to a trickle in the sports world. I have habitually taken 2 weeks off at Christmas. Not this time around. Kind of looking forward to it. When you enjoy going into work this much, it's really not that big a deal.
Yeah,
coming in and talking sports every day with your friends.
I was thinking about that, too, and trying to plan when I'm going to go home and what I'm going to do. And
Wynyard.
Mom's texting, what day are you coming home and all that stuff.
How about your dad?
Yeah, he doesn't text. He doesn't have a cell phone. Can you believe it?
They still exist, do they?
Yeah.
Some people without phones.
I know.
Okay.
Couldn't believe it. It's like,
how does he watch you?
Yeah. Couldn't get a hold of him, right? They watch on the TV and the computer. They got it hooked. Mom's got it hooked up. She keeps him moving forward, but she's the communicator of the family. And so bless her, right, for all of that. And she's up on everything, Snapchat, Instagram, you name it. But trying to figure out when I'm going to go home, and I'm sitting there being like, well, I want to do as many shows as possible.
Of course.
Because it's just so much fun, and we have the treats, and we have coffee, and the Christmas tree. This is the holidays. And pretty quickly, this is now going to be a part of the holidays. It's not going to be getting away. It's going to be this and family.
So having said that, I wanted to tell our viewers, because I'm getting a lot of messages from people saying, when are you going to be on the air through the holidays?
So yep.
You want to take that?
Yeah, we'll have shows for the most part throughout. We're going to have shows Monday, which is the 23rd, right? Monday's the 23rd. So the 23rd, 24th, there will be programs on the channel at 10 o'clock as normal. So the 23rd, 24th. Then we're going to take the 25th, 26th off. We'll be back on the 27th, which is the Friday. We'll be back right through to New Year's. We'll take New Year's Day off as well. So they'll have programs right through. And of course, there might be one or two that'll be, we'll look back on some of the memories of the show. We talked about the top moments there. You had the board up, so we'll do that on New Year's Eve. We'll have a look at the CFL season on one of those days too, so it'll be lots of fun. There'll be lots of reminiscing, lots of old clips. It'll be really cool.
Actually, it was August long weekend, I think, that we ran our first best of, and we'd only been on the air for 2 months,
right?
And I sat on my patio and watched it and laughed my butt off at those best of comments. So people really do love those.
Yeah,
so that'll be good. Donna in Central Butte's watching today. She says, great show, we'll have to watch later. The power was off, having trouble loading. Well, just remember this. You don't have to watch every day. You can listen live every single day. RodPeterson.com/listen live. On our trip to Houston, which everybody's still talking about, there's farmers that have never even seen the show.
Yeah.
Like the cartoon of Lynch and I in the Jeep, I'm showing it to them, and they thought it was hilarious. They've never seen it because they listen every day.
Yeah.
It's a thing. It can happen.
Yeah. And it's so great. Yeah, the Listen Live, the podcasts. People will consume the show as a podcast, and they're doing that right now. And we're talking to them on the podcast, and they've never seen the show. They've never tuned in live. And that's part of what's so great is there's you just keep amping it up. So they're like, wait a second. This live experience is so much different with the comments, and you can actually get involved in the conversation. That's cool, too.
Watching is probably the best.
Yeah.
But I'm saying if for whatever reason it fails, your power's off, your Wi-Fi's down, so whatever, you can listen every day. So we got some great comments coming in here. Dale Wagner, he's a huge Rush fan, Ryder fan. Merry Christmas to everybody at your show, Rod. Same to you, Dale. From Terry Carrier, good job, guys. Merry Christmas. So as Darren just said, we'll be on the air through all of the holidays for the most part. And if my family hasn't killed me, where we started this show, they're a little upset that they're all driving to Edmonton and I'm flying. I'll be flying over them. to get to Edmonton. It's for work, Paul.
Yeah.
You know what happens when you try to please everybody?
Doesn't work.
You please nobody.
Thank you.
But Ricky Nelson said it. Can't please everybody, so got to please yourself.
Please yourself.
Come on, get with it over there. Stop it. Uh-oh, the Sharks are circling. Management's here. What are we talking? Who's getting fired today? Okay, see you tomorrow. Thanks. Yeah. 10 a.m. Central right here on Facebook Live.
Oh.
For more Rod Peterson on demand, visit rodpeterson.com.